Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Mm-hmm.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Yep.
Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
For sure.
My name is Daniel Lim, and that's Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, so we're on episode 412.
412.
Our friend Sam Chan out in Australia.
Yes.
From the land of Down Under has written a great book on evangelism, but he messaged on Instagram for our 400, under our 400th episode. He was like, I wish you guys would keep on recording to like a million or something. It was like some crazy big number.
I love Sam Chan.
Yeah. That guy is an incredible.
He can light up a room.
Evangelist. Yeah. Yes. Completely. Anyways, shout out to Sam. Good eye, mate. Come on.
He did that.
All right. So today we have a great question about discipleship and evangelism. So let's listen in.
What do you do if your pastor is into discipleship but not into evangelism?
All right. So typically,
well, that was a short question.
It is. Now,
what would Sam
reasons,
say?
What would Sam? What would Sam say? WWSS. All right. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to play this one, it's not typical because oftentimes it's the pastor or the church leader that's submitting questions.
Right.
Yet this individual is not a pastor. Maybe she's leading in a church, but she's not a pastor because of the way she asked the question, right?
Right.
What do you do if your pastor's into discipleship but not evangelism? So I thought it'd be interesting to answer because it really is the opposite perspective. Okay. So imagine your congregation. I mean, we all have different values that we have. And I was in Boston yesterday at the time of this recording, working with church planters and pastors out there. And I was talking about the whole importance of core values.
Right.
Right. And how your core values affects your leadership pipeline and how it affects your discipleship pathway. So if this individual is seeing or sensing that the pastor is into discipleship but not evangelism, that probably has something to say about the culture and maybe what the core values are. So that's the perception. Now, if a congregant came up to you, Todd, right, Pastor Todd, and said, hey, Pastor, you, why do you not ever focus on evangelism? I feel like all you're doing is talking about discipleship. How would you respond?
I would typically begin to ask them what they were like, what does evangelism look like for you?
Yeah.
How are you doing that? Do you want to lead that ministry?
Right to equipping the saints.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. Whether it's evangelism or something else, there are some people who are in your church that are going to come to you with an idea that they want you to do.
Yes.
But they're not willing to, you know, be a part of it themselves. So I would say, okay, well, tell me what that looks like. Tell me what you are already doing. Tell me how I can help equip you to do that better and bring people alongside of you. I'm not going to say we're going to drop everything we're doing and make an announcement for your idea or ministry or whatever. We had high barriers to entry to start a new ministry because we said we have plenty more than we need right now. We're trying to find things to, you know, take off because everything's an opportunity cost. We've talked about it on the podcast many a time over the last 411 episodes. Math is hard. That's where I would start.
Yeah, because there is always something behind that question.
That's a question in the form of a statement.
Yeah. The thing that I would also that I would add to that
or a
like
statement
that,
in the form of a question, sorry.
What I would add to that is actually asking her what she thinks, like what does she mean when she talks about discipleship? What does she mean when she talks about evangelism?
Right.
When is she seeing them happen well within a church context? Was that this church context? Was that a previous church context?
Right.
So a lot of times if you're having a conversation like this and a congregant is asking you about strategy and ministry philosophy and things that really do dictate the way that what's going on behind the scenes, right? And programming and all that stuff. If they're asking a question like that, it's usually not open-ended.
No.
They usually have something that they want. from somewhere. So a lot of that pastoral conversation is just hearing them out. And sometimes instead of answering them and saying, well, I do talk about evangelism. Don't you see that this is what we did? And yeah, I'm glad you like the discipleship, but look at all the evangelism we're doing. And then it's just, if you come across too forceful, then they might be like, oh, okay. Or they might actually think that you haven't heard them out. So
yeah, a lot of times, or you're being defensive.
Yeah. So, or maybe hiding something, or maybe you're covering something up. So in that way, I would just really encourage you to ask the congregant, okay, what do you mean? When have you seen it done well? And then work backwards from there.
I like that. The more questions you ask them, the more you're going to see how much thought have they put into it. Is it serious? Is it something that they're really tied to? Etc., etc.
Yeah. So now let's actually answer the question. So that's a good way to approach the question. But before we answer that question and give you some ideas around how to increase the level of evangelism in your church, especially if your congregation feels like discipleship is maybe the emphasis, and it should be the emphasis, but maybe it's they feel like evangelism is not being emphasized at all, what should you do? All right. So before we get into that, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today. Do you ever feel like you don't know where to start with volunteer training?
Yes.
Or if you do, is it hard to get everyone in the same place at the same time?
So hard.
Well, that's why Ministry Grid was designed to train every volunteer and leader in your church. And with a library of over 3,500 videos and 800 courses, you're going to find leadership training for every area of your church. Okay, so I'm going to stop the ad script and just ad lib a little bit here.
Okay, go for it.
So I mentioned at the time of this recording yesterday, I was in Boston.
Yeah.
I was coaching these planters and pastors on Leadership Pipeline and Discipleship Pathway. And obviously every time we talk about Leadership Pipeline, we talk about the competencies and all the work that we've done and how all that content's on Ministry Grid. Now, here's the beautiful thing about all that. I then said, hey, if you want to download our competency chart, go to this website, here are the instructions to do it. And then we did a Q&A time. One of the pastors stood up and he was like, hey, I just want to let you guys all know we're using Ministry Grid at our church. I didn't know this, right?
Right.
We're using Ministry Grid at our church. And not only are we using the videos on Ministry Grid, but we're filming our own videos. And we're just about to move our membership class onto Ministry Grid because then people can join anytime, anywhere. And then you started hearing all this other conversation. Like, oh, what about this? And what about this? So it was cool to, in presenting Pipeline, to just see churches benefit from the practicality of this library.
It's amazing. Whenever you put something out, people will use it, of course, as you intended to use it, but they'll also use it for all kinds of things. So we love the fact that all kinds of different churches come on and use it in so many different ways. The first time I heard somebody using it for their newcomers class or membership class, I had a check in my spirit and I actually called the guy. And I was like, no, that's not what it's intended for. And he's like, let me tell you how I'm using it.
Yeah.
And that's the guy that was, you know, using it with couples to say, hey, you view this and then we'll actually take you to lunch and pay for your meal.
High tech, high touch.
Oh, that was beautiful. So
for the month of August, if you go to ministrygrid.com/podcast, you can actually get Ministry Grid for your entire church for $399 a year. Not a month. That's like
a year.
A year, yeah. So be sure to go to ministrygrid.com/podcast. Okay, so let's say you want to increase the level of evangelism in your church. Well, number one, you need to fly Sam Chen out to your church from the land of Down Under. He did get his doctorate from TEDS.
Really?
I mean, the guy's legit.
He is legit.
Yes. And we ate really good Korean barbecue.
I'm sure you did.
No. We did last year.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about, because you were just there.
Oh, this past time. No, Scott and I called him up. Scott Sanders, he's the host of the One Thing podcast. We called him up and Sam was evangelizing.
Probably.
You know, he was speaking at this youth rally and obviously evangelizing.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so I'm glad you bring that up.
Okay.
Because some pastors would say, oh, I'm all about discipleship. And by that, they mean I preach in a discipleship manner I'm into discipleship, but it's really about their preaching. Mm. Some guys would say, oh, I'm very evangelistic, but it would all be about their preaching. Sam Chan is in the business district of Sydney.
Yeah.
and he will share Jesus with a parking meter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's legit. So yeah, he's speaking at a youth rally. That is evangelism. Yes. Okay,
parking meter, not like an inanimate object, an individual.
No, I mean, he'll share Jesus with a rock. Oh. Like, he just, that's who Sam is.
And he's a doctor, too.
And he's a doctor. Yeah. I mean, he's every.
Yeah.
This podcast was sponsored by Sam Chan. That was the ad for the thing. No, seriously, though, when you, one of the things that you would want to do if your pastor says, oh, we're more about discipleship, is to say, okay, well, you know, what does that mean? Because part of discipleship is evangelism.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, leadership or administration or fill in the blank is my spiritual gift, but you don't get a pass on evangelism. As a believer, you are a disciple who's supposed to make disciples to make disciples. Mm. Doesn't matter where you are in the org chart or calling or whatever, everybody is called to evangelism.
Yeah.
Whether it's your number one spiritual gift or not.
Yeah. And now what role and what does that look like to evangelize? I think for everyone in the church, it's you have to pray for the lost, pray for your neighbors, make sure you're in proximity with your neighbors. But also it's then not only praying for them and being in proximity with them, but spending time with them.
Right.
Right. And then as you spend time with them, then asking the Lord for opportunities to share the gospel with them. So there is definitely a lot of that. Now, in the book Designed to Lead, we do talk about the center pipeline training. There's this paradigm, conviction, culture, and constructs. So that obviously is that paradigm that they use toward implementing a leadership pipeline within the context of your church. But when it comes to evangelism and normalizing evangelism and even normalizing discipleship, normalizing anything in your church, conviction, culture, and constructs is a fantastic paradigm. So number one, do you have a conviction for evangelism? Do you also have a conviction for discipleship? Is that conviction evident in the context of your church? Number two, is there a culture? So when you baptize, do you just baptize or do you share the story of a life transformed and how someone in your church shared the gospel with them? And I mean, that's, you know, it's not just about celebrating the fact that they've been transformed. You can actually tell the story of how the evangelism happened. And it's not just one conversation. Evangelism is the course of several conversations over a long period of time, oftentimes, right?
Right.
So share that in the testimony. Make that normal. Celebrate that. Make that a part of your culture. And then what are your constructs to make that happen, right? You can use acronyms like BLESS, begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and story. BELLS is another one. I mean, there's so many acronyms like that. But also, you can give evangelism in a skeptical world by Sam Chan. Seriously, Sam
He's
has
gonna
no,
love us after this.
He has no idea we're doing this. This is just because we love the guy. But literally, this is a great book that you can give your pastor or share. Or if you are a church leader, work through this because it's a way for you to rethink and focus in. And anytime you read that, and you know, the whole three circles conversation,
right?
I mean, just any of those resources, I would say relook at, do it together with your team, and then you're going to have ideas, you're going to come up with ideas as to how to normalize and increase the level and fervor of evangelism in your church.
You can actually find the three circles evangelism training on Grid, and it's free.
Right. Yeah, that's actually how I first came across before I knew anything about Lifeway or SBC or
really.
Yeah, or any of, or Scroggins, any of, I found it because we were doing evangelism stuff at our church and I wanted to find something that wasn't for spiritual laws.
Right.
Or the bridge. And I found that. And then I saw Jimmy Scroggins doing it on his light board and doing all this. And I was like, this guy's awesome. Who is this guy? And then
he's our chairman and trustees.
Yeah,
right now.
I know. And then within the year,
he's kind of our boss's boss.
Lifeway. Yeah.
So fun. Yeah. All right.
Well, thanks again for listening in, and be sure to check out the Making Disciples podcast with Robbie Gallaty and Chris Swain. They're part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, and they have fantastic content every single week. So check them out and subscribe today.